Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP and Caldwell. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Folks, welcome to another episode of You Are an IP Company. And we are talking today about a very dear friend of ours, Dan Sullivan and Babs, and Strategic Coach. And I had Strategic Coach really give me a mind shift a few years ago. And Katie, they've been a client of Caldwell now for several years, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So here's what I want the listeners to realize, that I myself had to go through a mind shift. I thought for years, I joined Strategic Coach in 2018. I thought, wow, maybe the day will happen where I can actually meet this guy, Dan Sullivan, because I was just really impressed with his thinking skills on several podcasts. And at the time, I actually heard of him in the very, very beginning. I was still a pastor, and I thought, you know, I'll never meet this guy. Well, I became an entrepreneur. They kept calling me every year, and I was glad they kept calling me. But every year, I was like, I don't think I'm ready. And finally, in 2018, I said, you know what? I'm going. I'm jumping in. And I kind of begged them to jump into 10X, Katie, and just stop. I didn't even want to go into Signature. I'm like, I want to be with Dan, because I just knew being around him would stretch my thinking. And sure enough, day one. I walked in, and they give you 30 seconds to introduce yourself in a room. And I said, I help people turn their books into 18 streams of income, you know? And I remember feeling this big hand on my shoulder, that, and it was Dan, and he's like, I like that. So that was cool. But then, Katie, I bet you it was a year later, I thought, you know what? I don't publish books. I publish IP. And that began the shift in my brain. That's like, whoa, we're not a publishing company. We are a company that publishes, protects now, and promotes intellectual property and turns it into 18 streams of income. You've always kind of been in this journey of IP. I mean, we hear your pharmacy story in the book, and you got to get the book, folks, because she tells a really cool story of how it happens. But let's talk about Strategic Coach and this whole concept that, you know what, every quarter we're actually coming in and doing thinking exercises where IP is the result of the worksheets. So Katie, is that even possible, that you can walk into a room, do some thinking, and walk out of the room with IP?
Yes, it is. I think that's part of the magic of Strategic Coach, because as entrepreneurs, a lot of times we're in that day-to-day grind at our business. And a lot of times we can get busy and we kind of forget about the IP we're generating, or even just forgetting about things that maybe should be at the high end of the priority list for us.
Yeah.
We just get so ingrained in what we're doing. And I think that's what Strategic Coach is really fantastic about, is you have to go to the class and you're around all these other entrepreneurs, and it really centers your thinking.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you get some time to really focus on these important tasks and issues at hand for you. And in just a couple of minutes, you can really start to identify, hey, what are some of those novel things that we're doing that maybe we can protect with IP? Because I think a lot of where there's sort of a gap is that we get so ingrained with what we're doing and we're so well versed in what we're doing that we forget maybe these small tweaks and changes, they might not seem important, but that's really where some of the most valuable IP is coming from too.
Yes. Well, and for years I'm sitting in that room and I'm seeing people to my right and to my left mapping out these charts and graphs and naming their processes. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's IP. And I feel like, first of all, our listeners, that's a mindset change. I was just sitting with some young entrepreneurs at Cedarville University yesterday and they were interviewing me, and I was starting to blow their mind just about a bottle that was next to them and how all the IP that was related to the bottle. And they're like, whoa. And here's what they literally said. They said everything is IP. And I'm like, you know what? In some ways, everything is IP. That, you know, it's not our IP, but I mean, I'm looking at a bag of pistachios right now, and the way that it's packaged, and the zip seal on the top, and the material that it's made out of, and the logo, and the, I mean, you know, a million more things than me, but like, truly, until you take your IP seriously, nobody else takes it seriously. Do you agree with that? We say that a lot in the book.
Right. If you're not, you know, protecting your IP, then it's giving others opportunities to steal it, rip it off, and kind of maybe even crowd you out from being able to protect it. So that's where really being proactive about it is so vital, because otherwise you're not going to be in a very favorable situation, and you're not going to be able to control how it's used either.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like today it's even more important. We live in a world where AI is pushing everywhere. It's easier to clone. Like, we've seen this, you know, someone grabs some sound waves from somebody and then turns it into a song, and the person didn't even do it. Likenesses, the, you know, name image likeness, NCAA. I mean, I feel like today, because we have become a digital world and an AI world and an internet world, like, IP was important 50 years ago, but today it's like gone exponentially. And therefore, if you don't have a process in place, you're going to leave money on the table. You may even leave your business on the table. But why do you think, I know we talked about the S&P 500 and the shift of the assets from tangible to intangible, but as you are literally at Caldwell every single day, getting this new IP coming across your desk, meeting with different clients, are you seeing the uptick with IP?
Oh yeah, I'd say especially in certain technological areas. So we're very fortunate that our office in Boston is close to the campuses of MIT and Harvard.
Yeah.
And so, you know, 5-6 years ago, things like blockchain were really huge. Everybody was looking to get IP on that.
Yep.
Then a lot of things came out in the cryptography space, applications of blockchain to that. And then recently we've seen tons of artificial intelligence, machine learning, generative AI, right? And so it's, I think that's probably one of the sort of most interesting parts of my job, is just kind of seeing the technology ahead of it being out there in public. And so there's always these shifts and changes, and that's where being very proactive, getting things protected first, soon, it's very important, because if you don't, then you're going to kind of miss the opportunity to do so.
Once your eyes are open, you see it everywhere. I do. I know you work out, you take your health seriously. I do as well with cycling, and I use this app called Strava.
Mm-hmm.
So Strava is kind of like social media for athletics. And basically what I just noticed this week, Katie, I've been using this thing for years, and I always ride my bike, and I always, you know, hit and then that's it. And I get my stats. Now what it's doing is it has AI reading my metrics, heart rate, speed, elevation. And then literally within 30 seconds, AI gives me a summary of a narrative of my entire ride.
Oh, wow.
Is that crazy or what?
That's so crazy.
I mean, literally it will be like, your ride today was pretty good. Your heart rate was more than you've had in the past week. Your elevation was lower than your trend. Like, and I'm thinking that is totally IP. Another thing, again, I want people to realize, like, it's everywhere. I'm listening to Audible, right? So you take the cycling world that I'm a little bit a part of, and now you take Audible, which I'm just a consumer. I like audiobooks. Now when I'm sampling an audiobook, it used to just be like, that's it. Like it just would play your 5-minute sample. Now it says, the moment you play a sample of listening to maybe you like a book, it says, based on your listening, you may like this next book. Let us play you a sample. And I'm like, that's brand new. That is so brand new that now Audible literally studies my behaviors. And when I'm shopping and listening to a new audiobook to see if I might buy it, if I don't buy it, it immediately tells like that. This is, it's not like AI. Who would have said that? Who would have said 5 years ago that Strava,
right,
and Audible better get on the AI train? And yet I'm seeing this with every business, that every business literally is innovating new IP.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I even saw it this week too. I was on LinkedIn, and now when you go write a post, it'll even allow you to rewrite what you've written with AI, and it will create suggestions on how to make your post better.
Yeah.
Just where I think we're at the tip of the iceberg of seeing it integrated into so many things.
I see it going into health. You know, I read this 2 years ago. It said the day will come when if your doctor is not consulting AI based upon your conditions, it will be considered malpractice.
Wow.
And I was like, what? But the point was, and it wasn't just a headline. It said, because AI is scanning the most recent breakthroughs that have happened in medicine in the last 2 weeks, your doctor doesn't have time, you know, to go and study what's new and innovative in cancer. So I do feel like if people don't get on this IP train, we say it in the book, they're going to lose influence, impact, and income. And why do you think it's really all three? I know a lot of times people are just hyper-focused on one, like, oh, it's money. But I really think it's influence, impact, and income. Why do you think it's three?
Yeah, I think because all three of those components play together, right? Because if you've protected your IP, you've generated this asset that's adding value to your company, and then it's allowing you to really control and influence particular sectors of technology, different strategic partners, and it allows you to really figure out how that's going to look and what kind of influence you want that particular piece of IP to have. You know, a lot of companies use their IP not necessarily to go sue other people with, but to really kind of create opportunities to define their space, what they're doing, and create collaborations with other companies.
Yeah.
So it's all about how, you know, what do you want that narrative to look like? And you need to just kind of protect the property first to be able to do that.
Mm. For years, Katie, you know, for 20 years, I've been a writer. And so once in a while, of the millions of words I've written, once in a while, I'll say some smart. And so we have a little thing in our company where it's called Carrie's Quotes, and not in a narcissistic way, but these are just really good quotes. These are like,
yeah,
you know, when you prepare for the moment is prepared for you. And I have a whole teaching I do. And then another one, clarity attracts, confusion repels, a whole thing, show up, filled up. You know, the point is this, like I've been able to earn a lot of influence, impact, and income from those words, but many times I don't protect those words and they're buried somewhere on a post. So what I did, Katie, it took an afternoon over the weekend when I was watching some football. I'm just like, I we're ready to launch Instant IP. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go through my old quotes, clean them up. I'm going to see if they're there anywhere else on the internet that someone else really came up with it. Cause you know, we do that sometimes where we say something and it's like, well, somebody thought of that 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I went through them all. And now I have, believe it or not, I have 300 of my top quotes that literally could each become products and books and all this. And so what I'm doing is our team is, now that Instant IP is up, we're literally going to go and protect each one. And it's not so, ooh, you know, but the truth is that I started to see some of my clients, not in a, this was years ago. One of my clients took that show up, filled up, and he literally started going on the road with it, you know, and I had like come up with it in the whole teaching. And I don't think he was trying to be rude, but all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, he's taking that and like twisting the message, blowing it up. And so what I did, Katie, is I really quickly wrote a book on it. Mm-hmm. To try to like be like, okay, man, I got the space. But now today I can just go from smartphone to smart contract. And talk about that process, because I know you at Caldwell, I rely on you often to do trademarks and patents, and mm-hmm. it's amazing. And I feel like sometimes our listeners might think, well, I don't have a patent yet and I don't have a trademark yet. I would probably say they do, but even go back to Instant IP and just getting in the habit of saying, when you come up with something that's new and innovative, naming it, describing it, and then putting it on the blockchain with one click. Why do you think that's important for the whole IP journey?
Yeah, I'd say that's important because if you have, before you've protected anything, you need to have some sort of documentation of what it is, right? And we kind of, a lot of times you'll hear that referred to as what's called your company's trade secrets or know-how. Mm. And so if you have some sort of timestamp that shows, okay, I thought of this idea on this date, that helps down the road if some dispute ever arose about proof of concept, ownership, yeah. right? And a lot of times too, I think, when we're working with a client and they're generating so much IP, the first step is really to figure out
where it all is, right?
Like, we need to document this so then we can kind of sort through and start to organize it. And so that first step of writing it down, documenting it, timestamping it,
yeah,
it just becomes kind of the starting off point to then yeah. put systems in place to track IP.
I think you're on it, because look, if somebody says, well, hey, I wrote a blog post in 2002 on that, we all can go in and edit blog posts, and
yeah.
a bad actor can be like, well, you know what? I see they put it in 2002. I'm going to go change it to 2001. And you get into this expensive process when instead, if you did put it on the blockchain, you can't change the date. Nobody right. can. So now all of a sudden, when that person comes and says, I thought of it on May 1st, you're like, well, I thought of it on March 2nd. And here's the immutable proof. And I think it does give a really good confidence booster, because there, confidence, our coach, Dan Sullivan, he says, we say this in our book, Katie, that confidence is the number one thing that Dan Sullivan thinks an entrepreneur needs to protect.
Yeah.
And when you have a trademark, a patent, a smart contract behind you, it gives you a lot of confidence. Then instead of just being like, well, it's on a napkin in my room somewhere. The other thing I think you nailed so well was, in the book we say, before you optimize your IP, you must first organize your IP. And I do feel like if we sat down with entrepreneurs, 99% of entrepreneurs would be like, my IP is all over my attic.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I have. I don't know where it is. I don't know if I've gotten rid of it. I don't know if an employee stole it. Like, they don't have accurate records. And so I feel like our book, Katie, first of all, it's going to give people, in my opinion, an identity shift. Like, oh, wow, we aren't just making shoes. We are an IP company. So I feel like they're going to get an identity shift, and then they're going to get this incentive to organize. What do you think?
Absolutely. Because I think, too, for a lot of entrepreneurs that I've spoken with and worked with, when they start to hear about IP, it almost seems daunting.
Yeah.
right? And it's like, how am I ever going to put this into my company, integrate this in? And I think the book provides a great framework.
Yes.
To how to do that, because it can seem overwhelming. There, you know, rules around IP, legal rules, it's very complicated. It's a, you know, exotic area of practice. And so I think the book does a great job of just getting some concise information out there.
Yes.
How do we kind of start the process and start to unlock the potential of
that's
what we've created here?
You've used that term, and I love that term. In the book, you do say it's like unlocking the value.
Right.
And that's powerful. I love the analogy we use. It's really from Andrew Sherman. He talks about gold bars. In our book, we talk about Rembrandts, but it's this concept that your IP is gold bars. It is a masterpiece, but if it's stuck in your attic, I hear regret all the time, Katie, from entrepreneurs who say, dang it, I sold my company 2 years ago and it would have been worth so much more if I had organized my IP, if I identified my IP, if I protected my IP. Maybe we close today's episode with that. Like, forget, I don't want anyone to feel shame or blame about the past, because that's not helpful. Regret's not good. But how can someone today, you know, and even if you're like, hey, Carrie, it's just buy the book and get familiar with it. But like, how can someone today start the journey of like moving down the path?
Yeah. I think probably step number one here would be to sit down and think about, try and write down and think through, what are all the unique things you're doing? What are maybe services you're offering? Or things you've created that nobody else has done, or that's different than what other competitors or players in your industry are doing. Because once you start just a simple brainstorming activity like that, I think it'll just really create a lot of creative energy around maybe other things you can think about and where there might be gaps and opportunities to create even more IP, because once you've started to figure it out, it's just going to kind of open the floodgates.
It does.
Of it. I think you've even seen this happen with even when we first started working together, you were thinking about this blockchain just for book applications, right? And that was the starting off point to then create this whole new opportunity of protecting your IP on the blockchain and just time stamping things. And it just really, there was a major mind shift.
Oh yeah.
For you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I will tell people that if it would have just ended with books, it'd be about this big.
Right.
But now our clientele are all entrepreneurs, all creatives. We even had this lady, Katie, we're going to bring her on as a guest here. She came up with the no flip clip, and what it is, it's a flag weight. So when your flag is waving in the windy East Coast,
it
doesn't get tangled. And she developed this thing, and she's like, look, I don't have money to get a patent right out of the gate. You know, she's got to build up some capital. So she protected this with Instant IP. And like, I just saw on Instagram now, she's in multiple stores.
That's cool.
And she's launching this thing. So her name's Kim. We're going to bring her on in a couple sessions, but I want to talk to her because I think now she sees, oh, this is a product. People love it. People are buying it. It's protected by Instant IP. Maybe these are all tools. These are tools so you don't have to go out there and try to fight the world or a multi-billion dollar company, which I've been on that other end. But if you play by these rules, like, you can really be a David and take down a Goliath. And I think even, we won't cite the reference, but even one of your current cases at Caldwell, I saw this where I'm like, wow, you guys are fighting the Goliath. But you have the backing of IP protection, and it works. Have you seen that this works?
Absolutely. And I'd say too, it doesn't always have to be a David and Goliath.
That's right.
Situation, right?
Talk about collaboration, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I have a lot of clients too, who they each have their own separate IP, and then they know each other and they want to work together on something new. And so it's like, okay, we're each going to respect what we've already done individually. We're not going to touch that. And then let's put together a patent on something we're creating together that we can share. And so it just, there's so many ways you can set these things up to really achieve whatever your business outcome and business goal is.
And I remember in our book, we talk about background
and,
and foreground IP. And that's exactly what you're talking about. It's like the marriage relationship. What are you coming to the table with in terms of IP? And you both respect that, identify it, and then you create your new IP. That was a great chapter. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really an exciting thing to think about, because this comes up a lot more frequently than you'd think. And especially once your patent is published, which usually happens about a year and a half after you file it, people might start contacting you because they're interested in it, right? And then it becomes this thought of, okay, how can we leverage this as our background IP? And then what are we going to, maybe if we're going to work together, create new that we're going to consider as our foreground
IP? I love it. There. I love it. Folks, share the podcast. If you love it, if you hate it, give us a review. We're interested in your feedback. We love to read each one. But we really believe that more entrepreneurs and creatives need to be launched into the world with confidence. And that's why this podcast exists. You are an IP company. And I'll close with, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today. Thanks so much, Katie, for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today and caldwelllaw.com for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.